Lord, I trust in that anointing to teach us beyond human ability.
Yes.
I want everyone to say this out loud. Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
I yield to your teaching ministry.
I yield to your teaching ministry.
I give you permission,
I give you permission
to challenge my thinking.
Move me to higher
ground.
Change my life.
By the power of the Word.
By the power of the Word.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. A great big amen. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I want to go back to a verse that really we concluded with and is a theme verse for our study. If you weren't able to be with us, I want you to write this title down. We're talking about how to have God's success in your life. How to have God's kind of success in your life. Now, we certainly can't repeat all that we covered this morning. We covered a lot of ground this morning. We put some definition to it, some parameters to success. But I think we should take a brief review, and that is this, that God's success is different than the world's success. You know, in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, it says, if basically, and I'm paraphrasing, if you'll stay in my word day and night, if you'll observe to do it, don't look to the left, don't look to the right. It says, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And we said if there's a good success, there must be a bad success.
Right.
Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and what? Lose his soul. So the world's idea of success starts out here with stuff. Everybody say stuff.
Stuff.
Nothing wrong with stuff, but if that's all you get, he says, what would it profit a man? It will profit you nothing. That's tragic to go through life and lose your soul. Not have God's success. Well, where does God's success begin? It begins on the inside.
Yes, sir.
And so God's success begins, watch this, the moment you have faith in Christ, you're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Your spirit man is recreated in Christ. You're born again. And so God's success starts right in your spirit. That is the deposit. That is the down payment of your heritage. You've got God living in you. I want everybody to put your hand right here in the chest. Everybody say this out loud. I have the Spirit of God. God Almighty.
All that God is.
All that God has.
Living in me.
I'm a rich person. I'm a wealthy person. Ooh, hallelujah. That just made me feel good saying that. Do you believe that?
Uh-huh.
Or are we just preaching?
No, I believe it.
No, we're preaching, but I believe it.
Amen.
All right, watch this. It's in there. Now we got to work it out. Huh?
Uh-huh.
We got to let it out. We've got to learn to release it out. All right, let's look at this verse, verse 7. And many of you can quote this. It says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has not given us the spirit of fear. He hasn't given us a spirit of fear, the spirit of the world, but has He given us a spirit?
Yes.
Certainly. He's given us what? His spirit, the Holy Spirit. So I have the Holy Spirit in me. We just made that good confession. Well, that Holy Spirit within you now, watch this, wants to begin to manifest. Everybody say manifest.
Manifest.
That's different than, oh Lord, send some of that power down.
Come on.
Remember the old Pentecostal prayers? Oh Lord, send the power down.
Come on.
Honey, the power's already down.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
It's Lord, help me yield to the power and get it out.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm not up at the altar tarrying for something to be poured out from heaven. The Holy Ghost is already in me. I want to learn how now to yield and manifest. Put your hands back on your chest. This will seem silly to your flesh, but I want you to do it. On the count of three, you go one, two, three, you go woo, and shake your little fingers, right? One, two, three, woo. All right, so when they say, what did Jason teach on? Just go woo. Put your hands back here. On the count of three, I want you to say manifestation. One, two, three, manifestation. Put your hands back. One, two, three,
manifestation.
See the difference? It's not, Lord, it's up there somewhere and I don't have any of it down here. It's in me and I need to manifest.
Yes.
Well, how's He going to manifest? Look at the verse again. Power. Everybody say power.
Power.
So there's one category. Everybody say love.
Love.
Everybody say sound mind.
Sound mind.
All right, now I'd like to ask Daniel. Daniel, go up there and put this on the transparency overhead. And those of you that weren't here, you're going to have to start writing real quick. I want to go back and review while he's doing that. Those of you that were with me this morning, look at your notes. Those of you that weren't, start writing as quick as you can. What are the three master keys? I gave you three master keys this morning for God's success in your life. The first key to success is to what? To believe that it is God's will for you to succeed. Write that down if you weren't with us. The first master key for God's success is this. You must believe that it is. Everybody say it is.
It is.
You can't have these mental blocks. Well, I wonder if God wants my church to prosper. Well, I wonder if God really wants me to get on radio stations if I'm called to get. I wonder if God wants my business. Well, why would He have called you to start a business? Honey, whatever God's told you to do, He wants you to succeed at it.
That's right.
So you got to cross that barrier. I know that seems simple, but you can't imagine how many people, millions of good Christians, who have these mental barriers that they're not sure would they deserve it. You're never going to deserve it, and you're not going to be worthy. We base it on what Jesus did. Everybody say this. It is.
It is.
My Father's will.
My Father's will.
For me.
For me.
Mistakes and all.
Hang-ups and all.
Past and all. It's God's will
for me
to succeed. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Master key number two. Look at your notes. The second key to success is to renew your mind and start seeing yourself. Start seeing yourself as a success fulfilling your destiny. So Jason Peebles has to train his mind to see it. I've got to see, I told you this morning, I see antennas all over the country. It's hard to imagine a lot of radio stations, so I see antennas on the map. What are these antennas doing? They're sending out a broadcast. I see little lights all over the world map. What are these? These are world outreach missionaries. Some of you don't realize this. We've got over 50 full-time, spirit-filled missionaries that operate out of our office, under our umbrella. We send out their letters, we receipts, put the money in the bank, we do all that. I see that growing.
Amen.
By the power. I see it. Everybody say, see it.
See it.
You can't go through life seeing yourself as a failure, hoping you're going to succeed. You got to see what God wants you to have. Now the third one, and that relates to the diagram, and then we're going to be through with our review here. The third key to success is to build your life. Write this down. Is to build your life around the success wheel. What I come to call the success wheel. Now find your way to Genesis 1, and then I want to just, before we look at Genesis 1, I want to look at this success wheel again, and I'm going to refer to this every single session. The Lord gave me this diagram by the Spirit, and it's based off of the verse we just read in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. He's not given me the spirit of fear, but He's given me a spirit. It's God's nature. I have God's nature. That's the hub of the wheel. Notice we've drawn a large circle, and we've put a smaller circle in the middle, which is the hub. Everybody say the hub. And, you know, I was in Dallas, Texas, and I actually saw a tire come off of a car. That gets your attention. Especially when I was almost run over by the runaway tire. I'm telling you the truth. This is not a made-up story. I mean, that would have looked terrible. Evangelist killed by runaway tire. I mean, there's a lot of ways to go. That'd be a yucko way to go. I'm walking through the parking lot, praying in the Holy Ghost. I'm out there teaching at Christ for the Nations Bible Training Center, and I didn't have a vehicle, so I'm walking to pick up some toiletry items and so forth like that. And I heard this big, the loud, most obnoxious noise. Boom, bam. And I looked around, and here comes an automobile tire, and I jumped out of the way, and it went right by me. And I went over there and helped the lady and jacked up the car and got the tire and put it on. All the lug nuts had fallen off. Now look at that. If you don't have the lug nuts of God's success nature, and that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. We're going to focus on the hub of the wheel. What is the hub of the... What's the hub around which your success is going to revolve? It is the success nature of God.
Amen.
I took that lady's tire and put it on, and I borrowed a lug nut from all the other wheels. Amen.
Yeah.
And I tied it up and I said, you need to go right back to whoever she had had somebody work on her tires. And I said, they need to pay for this damage and fix it up. Not to mention, you know, thank God I didn't have to collect on my life insurance. Amen.
Amen.
You know, rebuke him from almost running over profit. Amen. I could say, the bear come out and get you, but I decided not to. Amen. All right. The hub of the wheel, the thing that holds it all together, is God's success nature. Now listen to me. As I look at this diagram, listen to me. The hub of the wheel is God's success nature. And then he said power. Everybody say power.
Power.
We'll be talking about power keys tomorrow night. All right, the third area on the diagram is love, what he calls love. But I've chosen to kind of broaden that and call that character keys. I mean, love, there's a whole lot more than just love. The fruit of the Spirit, basically, is what we're talking about there. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. You can't just have power, you've got to have character.
Uh-huh. Amen.
Now, there's a lot of ministers that have great anointing, they've got power, but no character.
Absolutely.
Or businessmen. And you know what? They end up shooting themselves in the foot, so to speak, and they self-abort like Samson did.
Right.
Samson is a classic case of someone with power and he was lacking in character.
Yes.
All right, but the verse also said power, love, and what? Sound mind. Everybody say sound mind.
Sound mind.
So I've kind of amplified that. Sound mind, or some versions say discipline or self-control. I think of it this way. God wants to help you get organized and give you His wisdom. It's one thing to have a vision, but you got to have the plan to get the thing going. And so if you want success, how many of you want God's success in your life?
Yeah.
Then you've got to have all of these dimensions functioning in order for your success wheel to get going down the road so that you can be the most successful pastor that God's called you to be, or evangelist, or business person, or housewife. How many of you know you need God's success nature to raise children?
Amen.
Amen. In this day and time, the success wheel. Now, let's go back to the hub. Everybody say the hub. You could have the power. Hear me now. You could have the power. You could have the fruit of the Spirit. But if insecurity gets on you, if you don't know who you are, if your identity is based in what the people say, if your identity is based in what the circumstances say, the lug nuts will have come off and the whole thing will fall to the ground. And I can promise you this, you can have 400 horsepower under the hood, and if your tire is off, you're not going anywhere. You can sit there and rev your engine all you want. You're not going to go anywhere. Go to Genesis 1, verse 1. And your notes, those of you taking notes, I want you to kind of make this transition. We're now focusing on God's success nature in the believer. So you might want to make a new heading in your notes. We're now focusing on the hub, which is God's success nature in the believer. And in order to see this, we need to go back to the book of beginnings. How did God intend for it to be in the beginning? Genesis 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning, God created. Everybody say, God created.
God created.
Now, at the risk of sounding very simple, the creation account that we're reading is a type. I mean, it happened literally, but there's also a spiritual application that when God's Spirit gets hold of you, He creates.
Amen.
If you doubt this, hold your finger there just for a moment. I want you to go with me to 2 Corinthians. I want you to see this cross reference, because it's not just Jason Peebles saying this. I wish I could, you know, tell you that I invented this little thought, but I must confess I borrowed it from an apostle. 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4, and I want you to see verse 6. Paul relates the creation account to the believer being born again. Did you know when the Holy Spirit gets hold of you, He moves upon the darkness that's in your life and He causes light to come forth, and then the vegetation and life, I mean the life of the Zoe Spirit of God begins to blossom in your heart. And a big part of that is that God don't sponsor failures. Look at verse 6. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Now, he's quoting from Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, what we're about to read. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. See, I want you to mark that. He's relating the new birth, what we would call the new birth, to the creation account. So guess what? When you get saved, there is a creation taking place in you. Verse 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light, not the natural light of the sun, S-U-N, but the light of the sun, S-O-N. Amen? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in, here it is, the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure. I want you to circle the phrase, this treasure. Everybody say, this treasure. Well, what is this treasure? I'll tell you what this treasure is. The treasure is what is in other places referred to as the new man. What is the new man? That is your spirit that has been born again. We have this treasure, the Holy Ghost, the light of God, the new man, the recreated human spirit. There's many ways you could say this. We have this treasure where? In earthen vessels. That the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Now go back to Genesis. Are you getting this?
Yes.
Are you seeing the analogy that Paul has set up here? So now as we read the creation account, I don't want you just to read this as a physical act, though I believe it. I believe that God created the heavens and the earth, but there's also a spiritual view Paul's saying. Just like when God spoke and said, let there be light. When we believe, there's a light that comes into us and a creation process takes place.
That's right.
Verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. How many of you know before you came to Jesus, your life was without form and void?
Yeah, definitely.
And I'll tell you something else. Go on. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Yeah, you were out there in deep waters and it was dark. And hallelujah, circle this, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Well, thank God that happened in the natural, but thank God that happened at some point in Jason Peeble's life where the Holy Spirit of God moved in my life. I got saved in the most bizarre fashion. I mean, you know, I didn't grow up around this kind of stuff, folks. I must tell you this. I grew up in an old dead church. Didn't even have altar calls. I finally went to a group. Anybody ever heard of a group called Young Life? I mean, it's kind of a light approach. I mean, it's not your most serious approach, but they have really won a lot of people to the Lord. The only reason I went, I was on the football team and I went with some of the football players, is because the guy who was speaking said that if he could get, I forget what it was, 10 or 15 football players to go, that he would eat a live goldfish. Now that shows you how reprobate Jason Peebles was, man. I mean, I was in darkness, huh? This poor little goldfish swimming around in this little tank, and I wanted to see that fella eaten up by the speaker. Now, if that's not using the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, I don't know what is. And so here's all these cool football players walking in, We didn't want to hear the gospel. We wanted to see that little goldfish eaten up. And this guy, true to his word, he gave the message, and the Holy Spirit of God got hold of me. He prayed a sinner's prayer. He didn't even have an altar call. Do you believe you can get saved without altar calls?
Yeah.
You mean God's that big? He prayed the sinner's prayer, and I repeated the prayer in my heart. And I raised my hand, not really even a good raise, just half-mast. And here I am today preaching the gospel.
Glory.
And that little goldfish sacrificed his life. Now that's almost embarrassing to tell that story. I just believe if there's goldfish in heaven, he's there. Hallelujah. And great is his reward. He'll be there like a star-kissed, swimming around a little crown on his head, you know. All right, look at verse 2. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, I want you to underline that, and God said, let there be light, and shucks, there was no light. Is that what your version says? Now don't miss this. Don't miss what I'm about to say. Kind of put it in your own shorthand here. My intent is not to get you to see, because I know you already know this. I mean, you know, first graders in Sunday school know this. My intent is not for you to go away and say, yes, God created light. I mean, that's a great insight. If you don't know that, you need to know that. But here's my intent. Watch this. Whatever God sets out to accomplish, He accomplishes.
That's right.
I want you to write this in your notes, and you can go to the bank on it and tell them Jason Peeble sent you there. And that is this: God is a successful God.
Oh, yes, He is.
When God sets a goal, He reaches the goal. Huh? Now, see, we're sitting there going, oh, yes, praise God, hallelujah, that's God, that's my God. We have no problem with that. When we start blinking and scratching our heads, it's when I'm going to turn around and tell you that very same success nature is now your nature.
Amen.
Well, if you believe you've been born again, and the Spirit of God who does not fail, the Spirit of God who's successful now lives in you, and He's actually sealed or fused, however you want to call it, He has joined to your spirit and the Holy Spirit are now one. Therefore, God who is holy is in you, God who is righteous is in you, and something we don't hear enough about, God who never fails, God who's successful, it's part and parcel of your nature.
Yes.
Wow. Everybody say wow.
Wow.
Say it backwards now. Everybody say wow.
Wow.
Go either way with that deal. Look at verse 3. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, this may seem extremely repetitive and simple, but I want you to follow me. Go to verse 6. And God said, here comes another goal. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament. It happened. Everybody say it happened.
Yeah.
Go to verse 9. And God said, let the waters. Everybody say it happened. Go to verse 11. You mark these quickly. And God said, let the earth... Everybody say it happen.
Amen.
Notice every time God says it, God sets a goal. He verbalizes the goal. He releases His Spirit through His words. And He accomplishes what He sets out to do. Everybody say it happen.
Amen.
Look at verse 14. And God said, let there be lights. Everybody say it happen.
Amen.
Go to verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly. Everybody say it happen. In other words, every time that God said, it happened, it happened, it happened, it happened, and that same God, that same nature is in you as a believer.
Amen.
Now your flesh will fight it. Your little old brains are going to go, well, then why have I failed? Well, why don't I feel successful? Listen to me. You're going to have to get to the point in your life where you believe that God is bigger than your feelings. You're going to have to get to the point where you believe that God is bigger than your past. And we're going to look at this a little bit later. The word says rooted and grounded in love. Most people are rooted and grounded in their past, in a mistake, in a failure, in a feeling of inferiority, in what Aunt so-and-so said. They're not rooted and grounded in unconditional agape love. We need to get our roots down in the fact that God says, I love you, mistakes, blemishes, and all. Oh, Brother Jason, if I could just be, 6 inches taller, I didn't quite make 6 feet. If I could just be like 6'5", God could really use me. Has anybody ever had those types of thoughts run through your head? Don't look at me, you bunch of lying folks. I'll cast those devils out of you. Oh, Brother Jason, if I could be shorter, I'm too tall. I mean, we've all got a little list, Man, if I could just have piercing blue eyes like they have on Hollywood. Honey, I can pretty much prophesy and tell you Jesus probably didn't have blue eyes growing up where he grew up. And he wasn't white Anglo-Saxon running around. But if I could just have those Hollywood blue eyes, then I really know that God could use me. You know, I've got a scar on my cheek right here. It kind of messed up. I got a scar on my cheek. Man, if that scar wasn't there. You know, we've got this laundry list of what, if we had that change, God could really use me, then I got news for you. God can use you now.
Amen.
Well, what did he do about the man and the woman that he created? Look at verse 26. Follow me down to verse 26. Do you get anything out of this? I desire to give you knowledge. I want to give you knowledge and inspiration. But the thing I'm really after is an impartation. You need the knowledge, you need the information, you need the diagrams and so forth, the keys. But you could forget the keys, you could really forget the diagram. What I'm after is a Holy Spirit deposit. So that through these meetings, you are going to be propelled into the success that God has for you. That's beyond what Jason can do. That's got to be an anointing. That's got to be an anointing. I'll go as far as to say this. If you'll be in these meetings with expectancy, and I can sense there is an expectancy in this room. If you will be, as it were, hanging on every word by the Holy Ghost, your church will be a better church for it.
Uh-huh.
Your business will make more money than you've made.
That's right.
Your family will do better and prosper more than you've prospered. How can you say that? Because I know the anointing of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Amen.
And we're going to break the spirit of failure. We're going to break the spirit of intimidation. And we're going to release the success nature of God in you so that you can go out and do what God's called you to do.
Yeah.
He says in verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image. I want you to circle the phrase, our image. Let me just kind of paraphrase there a little bit. God is going to create man just with the same characteristics as God. Now, didn't we just read about a God who said and there was, said and there was, said and there was, said and there was? Now, he's going to put that same creative ability. The ability to do well and the ability to create in the man and the woman that he's about to bring forth. Verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness and let them, mark it, circle it, put an underline under, let them have, say it, dominion. Everybody say dominion.
Dominion.
So he didn't create us to be the dominated. He created us to have dominion. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God created him, male and female, and he blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, underline that, subdue it, and have, say it, dominion. Everybody say dominion.
Dominion.
So God created them to have dominion. Chapter 2, verse 7, follow me, I know I'm going quick, follow me. Chapter 2, verse 7. Now here comes the creation account. I would love to have a videotape of this, wouldn't you? Do you believe if I had a videotape of the actual creation account, would you buy it?
Oh yeah.
That'd be an all-time seller right there. I don't have it, but I wish I did. Look at verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils. The Hebrew there is not. We think of nostrils like, okay, you know, God got kind of somehow fixated on his nose.
Come on.
The Hebrew there is windpipe.
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever had a CPR class, they teach you that when you are performing CPR on a child, that as an adult, your mouth is so much bigger than their mouth, you'll actually put your mouth over the nose and the mouth of the infant. You're going in the windpipe. That's what you're after. Now, I'll tell you this. God's mouth is a little bit bigger than your face. We're talking Holy Ghost CPR right here. Look at verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became, hallelujah, a living soul. Now, do you see in that one verse, spirit, soul, and body? Do you see that? Can you see that? The dust of the ground. Everybody say the dust of the ground.
The dust of the ground.
Well, what is that? The dust of the ground is the physical body. That's the container. So there's a physical container. But there's no pulse. There's no respiration. No eyes blinking. Container. God breathes spirit. Everybody say spirit.
Spirit.
He breathed. Now, don't miss this. When he breathed spirit, he breathed himself.
Yes.
Well, what is himself? What does it mean? I'm created after his likeness and after his image. I just got through reading Genesis 1 that said, God said, and there was God said, and there was God said, and there was. He is a God who accomplishes what he sets out to, and now he's breathing his being into the container. Spirit. Paul had a revelation of this when he said, the God who said, for the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the glory of God in Jesus Christ. He is reflecting right back to this account the very success, ability, the creative power of God was in them. That's why they could rule and reign and have dominion. And man became a living soul. There's the soul. His mind was turbocharged. He could think better than you can think.
Oh, yeah.
When Adam stood up, he had the ability to name every living creature. That is a task.
Yes, sir.
How'd you like to try to name every living creature?
No, thank you.
You ever had one of those science courses where you have to look under the microscope and look at those little boogers? And one of them's got a hair hanging out of it, and one's got little arms, and you don't know what to call them. And Adam had the ability to name every living creature, including the creeps that creep upon the face of the earth.
That's right.
He didn't look in the microscope and go, giraffe, wrong, try again. He named it right the first time. How did that happen? The very mind of God was in him. See, Adam didn't have to get up in the morning and go, oh man, shucks, I got to walk in the Spirit today, I forgot. There was no separation between soul and spirit. Notice it says he became a living soul. Everybody say living soul.
Living soul.
That means the life of the Spirit was already up in the soul. There was no separation like you and I experienced.
That's right.
The soul was charged with the success, the creative ability, the intelligence, the power of God. He was walking around like God.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Ruling and reigning.
Yes.
Now, I know what you're thinking, but Brother Jason, you didn't read the rest of the story where they sinned. Go over to chapter 2. And look at verse 17. It says, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou shalt eat of it, thou shalt surely what?
Die.
Thou shalt surely die. Chapter 3, verse 7. Well, let me just show you verse 4. Many of you know this, but some may not. How many of you know the devil will always tell you the opposite of what God says? So if the devil's sitting there telling you you're a loser, you can pretty much guarantee you're a winner.
Amen.
Look at verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Well, that's the devil. Go into verse 7. The eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves. Circle the phrase, made themselves. How many of you know you can't cover up yourself? I mean, just picture, there's humor here to be had. They're going to fake God out. God comes in the cool of the evening. Evidently, there was a certain time of the day where God... And they're going to stand there with fig leaves like nothing's up. Hi, God. Adam and Eve, is everything going on? Everything's cool, God. And you know, we're all like that. We're all like that. We're hiding. They made themselves. Hear me now. Hear me now. Don't miss, if you go out and misquote what I'm teaching, I pray the Holy Ghost will track you down and spank you. You cannot succeed in your own power.
That's right.
I said it this morning. You can go to success motivational seminars and they'll pump you up, fill you full of hot air, basically saying the power is within you, meaning you yourself. Just think positively. Christianity is not a think positive gospel. We do think positive, but thank God Christianity is not a self-help program. It bothers me when I go into the typical bookstore and they've got the self-help psychology section and the Bibles are in that section. Jason cannot achieve what God's told him to do, but I can when I understand the hub of the wheel, which is not my nature, but God's success nature in me.
Yes, yes, yes.
Ooh, that's altogether different now. Well, did they lose it? Yes, they lost it. Look at verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves. How many of you know you'll try to hide from God? From the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said, "Where art thou?" Everybody say, "Where art thou?"
Where art thou?
Now, do you pretend for a moment that God didn't know where they were? Wouldn't be much of a God if he didn't know, but I think he was asking the question to get a point across. Now, again, just picture them in the trees hiding. He'll probably not find us here. He'll go away soon. Eve, your fig leaf is sagging. Pull it up. And Adam, you know, God's walking by. He knows right where they are. Where are you? That's a good question. Where are you? Where are you in your understanding of who you are? What is your identity?
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you, what is your identity based on? Do you go around laboring under condemnation, guilt, unworthiness? Do you go around rooted in the past or some mistake or embarrassment? What are you rooted in? Where are you? Verse 10. Again, man, this is like husband and wife teaching right here, always blaming each other. And he said, "Well, I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" Everybody say, "Uh-oh."
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm. I forget which one it was. I don't know if it was Ryan or Joanna, but when they were just little fellas, little boy, little girl, I think we'd said, "Stay out of the cookies." And there's like Oreo cookies. How many of you know if you eat Oreos, it's all through your teeth? One of them came around the corner and I said, "Have you been in the Oreo cookies again?" "Uh-uh." I said, "Go look in the mirror." It's hard to, you know, be a disciplinarian when you're so, it's so humorous what they've done. And I imagine when they looked in the mirror, they went, "Uh-oh." Who told you that you were naked? Uh-oh. Verse 12. Anybody in here ever been in an uh-oh situation? Verse 12. And the man said, "The woman..." Men are still saying that, by the way. "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat." I swear to God, it wasn't my fault. Verse 13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "I swear it wasn't my fault. The serpent beguiled me and I did eat." And the Lord God said unto the serpent, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed." Verse 21. Follow me. Verse 21. Praise God. "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make." Who made it? They didn't make it, did they? Everybody say, "God made it." "Did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothed them?" God clothed them, and we understand this, this was a foreshadowing that God would make the provision. God would clothe us. But don't miss this. It's not just a clothing of sacrifice for initial salvation. Paul said, put on the new man. You getting this? Problem is, we get saved and we know we're saved and we know one day we'll go to heaven, but in the meantime, we're still trying to walk around in our own ability, judging ourselves by ourselves. Well, I made a mistake. I lost my temper. I said this. I said that. They said this. He said that. She said that. Instead of clothing with what God has provided. Well, what has God provided? God has provided everything that He is. His essence is in you. Clothe yourself with it. Put it on. God's given you. Now put it on. Doesn't do you any good if God gave it to you and you don't put it on. Everybody say, put it on.
Put it on.
Everybody say, I choose
to put on
the clothing of God.
The clothing of God.
2 Corinthians 5. Well, Brother Jason, we've got a problem. 2 Corinthians 5. We've got a problem. I know that Adam and Eve had that dominion ability. I know that Adam and Eve had supernatural intelligence. But don't you see, Jason, you just read it. They sinned, they messed up, and it's kind of gone. It's shot. It's done for. Ooh, thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Everybody say, creation.
Recreation.
You should write those two words in your notes. There's creation and there's recreation. We just read about creation, but when they sinned, they died. Where did they die? Did they drop dead physically the moment they bit into that whatever it was? Watch this. The same process that happens at salvation, but this was in reverse. It started on the inside. Everybody say the inside. Where did they first die? They died in their spirit. Watch this. Their spirit that was alive unto God now became darkened. Alienated from the life of God. Their soul that had been a living soul is pulled apart and there's no more living. There's a soul, but lights are out. The death starts on the inside. Death works its way from the spirit quickly into the soul, where the soul is now operating independently of that spirit. Decisions are now being made independent of God's choice. Feelings are beginning to flood them that they have never felt before, because feelings are no longer charged with spirit. Did you know when a person first comes to Christ that their feelings generally are very mixed up? I mean, you can't live out in the world and, you know, sleep with so-and-so and watch this and listen to that and not have your feelings all messed up. But if you will discipline yourself and walk with God and spend time in the Word, God can even heal your feelings. Literally, you can come to a point where your feelings can be used by the Holy Ghost. You'll walk into a group and you will sense or feel certain things.
That's right.
It's a spiritual transaction that's taking place. It, you know, a young Christian, that's untrustworthy because everything they feel, you know. Oh, I feel this, I feel that. Well, it's usually messed up. But somebody who's more mature in the faith, you see, they can get to the point where their desires really are a reflection of God's desires. Now look at this, verse 17. Again, these are verses that you probably memorized when you first became a Christian. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new what?
Creation.
He's a new creature, or some versions say creation. See there? Creation, recreation.
Yes.
Ooh, do you see what we're saying? Jesus not only forgave you of your sins, Jesus gives you a recreation.
Yes, yes, yes.
Adam and Eve lost the ability to have success. Adam and Eve lost the ability to have that dominion. They lost that likeness and image of God. In Jesus, I'm recreated, made new. That is, my spirit man is now alive unto God. Not dead, not alienated, alive unto God, joined to God. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature or creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Everybody say new.
Now
you see, we quote that. We memorize that in Sunday school class. Oh, bless God, yes. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Hallelujah. But most people can't tell you what the verse above it is.
Come on.
Or what it even signifies or means. Look at verse 16. I mean, this is powerful. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Are you measuring yourself by the flesh? Do you know your spouse by the flesh? Is that your level of analysis of other people? Simply by what appears in the natural? He says, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Ooh, what does that mean? Now, I want to be nice about this. I'm not trying to pick a fight with people, but just in case, I've got a fast airplane at the airport and I can get out of town. Amen. Some churches you'll go to, their whole faith or religion centers around Jesus hanging on the cross.
Come on.
Thank God Jesus went to the cross.
Amen, brother.
But you know, henceforth we don't know. Jesus is not hanging on a cross.
Amen.
He spent really a relatively few moments of his even earthly life on the cross, purchasing for us our salvation. And that same cross, if you want to know the truth, has been applied to your old nature. You were crucified. You were crucified in Christ Jesus.
That's right.
And made new in Christ
Amen.
Jesus. I must now reckon upon that fact. I don't go around crucifying my nature.
Come on.
I do go around crucifying my flesh, which is a mind that's enmity or set against God.
That's right.
But as far as my nature, I don't go around trying to make myself new. Honey, thank God that's been done.
Amen.
Amen.
Romans 6:6 says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified. Past tense. Your nature has... Galatians 5 does say that I must crucify my flesh. That is the tendency to align my soul, not my spirit. My spirit's been made new.
That's
but
right.
I do have a tendency, we all do, where our soul wants to run with the world. No, we must yield back and get our soul, look at this, our soul and our spirit harmonized.
That's right.
But let's get back to this nature thing. How do you see yourself? Are you seeing yourself based on your past? Don't know yourself that way anymore. That's not the way you're going to know yourself. Well, how am I to know myself? Look at verse 17. In the power of the resurrection. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I don't want to spend all my time thinking about a historical Jesus on the cross. Jesus is raised from the dead.
Yeah.
Amen.
And he's walking this earth today Amen. By the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's what disturbs me. These churches that say, well, we just don't believe in miracles for today. You might as well say you don't believe in God for today.
That's right.
I mean, I know they haven't made that connection. They wouldn't say that. But if God is alive and if Jesus is influencing the world today, guess what? Miracles are happening all around us.
Amen.
Let's reach out and get some of them.
Yes.
Ephesians chapter 4. You getting anything? Everybody say,
My nature
has forever been changed.
I've been recreated.
Made alive.
In the Spirit.
Unto God. Now, I want to hit this before we read this. I want to just hit this kind of heavy duty. Because again, there's good Christians that I guess through teaching would see it different. But the truth of the matter is, you don't have two natures wrestling within yourself.
Come on.
Your old man, I want you to give you some definitions. Write this down. The old man, let me just give like a formula. Old man equals. Because sometimes you put a definition to it, you'll get it. Old man equals the human spirit that was dead unto God. All right? In other words, your human spirit, I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit, your human spirit before Christ, B.C. days, was not alive unto God. Now, it wasn't entirely dead, because you can get involved in occult, you can get involved in witchcraft, you can get involved in spiritual things by your human spirit, but there's only one way to get in touch with God, with your spirit, and that's repentance and the blood of Jesus and the new birth. But the old man is the human spirit dead unto God. Well, what is the new man? Write this down. What is the Bible calls the new man, or the new nature? The new man, and some of the more modern versions, I don't like it because they'll say the word self. They'll say the new self. That's bad theology there, because, you know, in many ways I'm still myself. You're still yourself. I don't all of a sudden become robo-Christian. I mean, Jason Peebles had a lot of the same hang-ups the day after he was saved as the day before he was saved. Self is a personality. We're not talking about personality here. We're talking about your nature. That is the condition of your human spirit. The Greek there is anthropos, old and new. But what is the new man? The new man is the human spirit made alive unto God. The human spirit made alive unto God through faith in Christ. Now, can you see from those simple definitions, you can't have your human spirit both dead and alive? Hello. Hello.
Amen.
Your human spirit's either alive or dead.
That's right.
Unto God. And so you say, well, where's my problems? Well, that's another thing called flesh, and you may want to write this down. Flesh equals this. Flesh is the condition of yielding to sin. Flesh is not a part of you in the sense of your body. I mean, in some places it will refer to your body as flesh. But the condition of Galatians, when it says crucifying the flesh, does not mean for you to go out and take a hammer and nails and beat your body. Hello.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, and you know, you say some of this stuff and you laugh like it's silly. I mean, there was a guy I heard on television that cut his arm off over something to prove a point with a chainsaw. I mean, I guess he read the verse where Jesus said, you ought to cut your hand off, your arm off. I mean, hello, we need some proper interpretation here.
Yay.
So when the Bible talks about crucifying your flesh, it's not saying lay down and, you know, take a hammer and nail and crucify. You can't do it anyway. Have you ever figured that out? As soon as you get that hand nailed and those feet nailed, what are you going to do with this hand? So flesh, write this down. Flesh is not referring to your body there. Flesh is the condition of yielding to sin. That is what I must crucify daily.
Amen.
I'm not trying to change my nature daily. That's been changed. I am bringing my soul in obedience to the will of God every day.
Amen.
Are you getting that? Now, based on that background, let's look at these verses. We're coming down the final stretch here. Ephesians 4, begin with verse 20. Those definitions, by the way, man, they helped me so much. It cleared up so much when I finally got hold of that. Because I've always been taught this. Man, these guys get on radio and start hyperventilating. I want you to know, there's a good dog and a mean dog fighting in you. You better feed a good dog. Starve the mean dog. And you kind of get this picture that you're schizo, man. You know, it's like, remember that old movie, The Hulk, where the guy was like nice on one side and this mean guy on the other side? Man, what a way to think of yourself. Oh, sorry, that was just my mean dog. No, that was just your flesh. You just yielded to sin. Repent now, but your nature is alive unto God. Verse 20, Ephesians 4, verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning. Now notice this very carefully. Look at verse 22. That you put off concerning the former, the King James says conversation, I don't like that as much. The former lifestyle or behavior of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Now notice he didn't say put off the old man. He said put off the former behavior or lifestyle of the old man. See, my nature's been changed, but I got some old tapes. I got some old tapes, some old memories of the lifestyle. But you'll never get the victory if you're going through life trying to change your nature. You got to claim it, reckon it as so. I heard a homosexual give his testimony, and he'd been ministered to for some time by Norval Hayes. How many of you know Norval Hayes will get you set free if you got devils?
Yeah.
I think one of his philosophies, he just wears devils out. You think I have long meetings. If you've ever been to a Norval Hayes meeting, just bring your camping gear. And he wears devils out. He tells the same stories he's always told, and you're just sitting there going, my God, I heard this story, you know, the last time I was here. And I mean, about midnight when those devils are kind of letting down, that's when Norval moves in for the kill, man. And you're just sitting there kind of like, oh man, just almost out there in the zone, you know. And all of a sudden somebody next to you goes, ah! And you know, they'll wake you up. It's like, whoa, Norval Hayes has broke through. He's got an anointing.
He does.
He wears devils out. But this homosexual gave his testimony this way. He said that Norval taught him, instead of trying to kind of battle, well, I am a homosexual, but I don't want to be a homosexual. I mean, what kind of identity is that? He taught him to reckon that he was a new man in Christ.
Yes.
He wasn't trying to change his nature. He started saying, thank you, God, I have normal feelings.
Yes.
That put him on the positive attack. And he got the deliverance. He got the victory over that. The guy ended up being married, had children, and was out there preaching the gospel. But if you send somebody out there with a wrong identity, oh God, I know that I'm gay. I know that I'm homosexual, but I don't want to be. Help me, oh God. I mean, you've got that person mixed up. You've got to home in and realize your nature has been changed in Christ Jesus. Now, the former behavior or lifestyle we're going to work on, but you're not an old man, new man. You're a new man.
Amen.
Everybody say, I am.
I am.
A new creation.
A new creation.
In Christ.
In Christ.
My human spirit is alive to God.
Is alive to God.
Not dead to God.
Not dead to God.
Alive to God.
Alive to God.
Now see, that's the hub of the wheel. And if we don't get that, the rest of what I teach, you're going to be like that lady that lost lug nuts and it's going to just come to a terrible halt there. Verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So I got to get my mind right. I got to think right. I've got to realize that the old man is dead, the new man is alive. Verse 24. And that you put on, everybody say put on. That means get dressed up in the new anthropos, the new man, which after God is, or the Greek there is, has been. I like that. It's past tense. Which has been created in righteousness and true holiness. Do you see what that means?
Yes.
I'm not trying to become holy. I have the holiness of God.
That's right.
I'm not trying to become righteous. I have the righteousness of God. Where? In my spirit. Put there by the Holy Ghost.
Uh-huh.
Put it on. Everybody say, put it on.
Put it on.
Whew. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God.
Amen.
Put it on, put it on, put it on. All right, now, here's what I want to, how I want to conclude tonight. I want you to write this down. I want to give you four steps for walking in the success nature of God. We're talking about the hub of the wheel on our success wheel. I want to give you four steps to put a handle to this. Four steps for walking in your success nature. Then, see, we're going to be postured right. Tomorrow night, we'll be teaching about power keys. And these aren't keys that you got to go get. These are keys that you got to manifest.
Yes.
Did you get that?
Yes.
We're not going to have you up here at the altar. Oh, God, please send it on down here. It's in you. Learn to yield to it.
Yes.
Number one, the first step is this. Find out about your true identity and position in Christ. That's step number one. You'll never have it or dress up in it unless you find out about it. Number one, find out. Everybody say find out. See, it's a discovery. Find out about your true identity and position in Christ. Not on what my alcoholic daddy said. Huh? Not on what Uncle Billy Bob said. You know who Billy Bob's married to, don't you?
Yeah.
Billy Bob married Shishki. Shishki Bob. Thought I'd throw that out there for you. That's bad, isn't it? You know what happens if you cross a devil with a redneck? What do you get? You get Beelzebubba. Somebody's back there right now. What step was that? That was Shishki Bob and Beelzebubba. All right. Let's regain our senses here. Number one, find out. Everybody say, find out. See, I've got to discover my true identity and position in Christ. Well, where am I going to do that? Let me tell you this. You're going to do it in the Word of God. And specifically, and make this footnote, I believe the highest revelation in one condensed spot is the book of Ephesians.
Yeah.
Why? Because if you'll read the book of Ephesians, and every time you see the phrase in Christ, in Him, in whom, or some version of the in, you got to get in the in crowd, amen? In Him, in Christ. Every time you see in Christ, in Him, in whom, and you mark that, it's talking about you because you are in Him.
Uh-huh.
So if it says in Him, I'm seated in heavenly places, what does this say about my true identity and position in Christ? I'm above the problem.
Yay.
Amen.
If it says, in Him I'm accepted, then I need to go around feeling rejected all my life. I'm accepted.
Yeah,
yes. That's right.
But my feelings don't feel it. Well, you got to renew your mind and put on the new man, what we just read.
Yes.
And I'll tell you, there's a crucifixion that occurs there because your feelings are going to go through a death.
Yes.
Your nature's already gone through it. But you got to take your feelings at times that want to rise up and get out some of those old tapes. They'll get them out.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Let me get that old tape out when Billy Bob talked about me. That put in that tape player. Oh, that's me. Oh, dear God, that's me. Why don't you erase it?
Amen.
Why don't you erase that tape? We're tired of hearing that tape anyway.
Amen.
I got some old tapes. I just think we just need to throw those deals in the ditch. Amen. Just believe that God's grace is bigger than your old tapes. Number two, the second step. All right, well, what do you find out about it? That's one thing. Number two, start seeing yourself as God's Word says you are. Start seeing yourself as God's Word says you are. See yourself that way. See yourself that way. Well, God has not given me the spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind. So I will no longer see myself as an intimidated person.
Come on.
That's right. Yes.
I will no longer see myself as a person that always gets rejected.
Amen.
You know what? Oh, you just bother me and kind of, I don't know, just kind of strange. You see sometimes these ladies that seem to always marry abusive people. Then they get divorced, they get out of one abuse, and Lobo, they go down here and they hook up with abuse number two. It's like, hello. And it's like, here's the deal. It's because they see themselves as a person who deserves to be abused sometimes. Well, you know, here's a nice fella here, and he wouldn't like me, though, because, you know, after all, what I've been through, so no need to try to talk with him or build a relationship or go to that, you know, Christian function. go over here and hook up to, you know, Mr. Loser. I identify with him. Are you getting this?
Yeah.
How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself living in a house or a pup tent? I had one guy come and say, "Well, Brother Jason, don't you think it'd be wiser for you, instead of having a twin-engine airplane, to have a smaller airplane that wouldn't cost as much and burn as much fuel?" Well, I could go out here and get a crop duster, if that would make you feel better, and drag a banner behind that says, "Jacksonville or bust." And I could buy my whole family goggles, and we could get up there and go for Jesus. But you know what? If I did that, there'd be somebody be upset that I had a crop duster. Then I'd get me a fancy van. And sure enough, I'd pull up in a fancy van and somebody'd be upset. Don't you think? I could finally get myself down to a two-door, four-cylinder Briggs and Stratton something or another. Get out there and pull the string on that deal. And if I listened to other people, it wouldn't be too long that I'd be down there at, where were we today? At Aqua East or West or where was that?
Waves
place, and they had a little scooter you could stand on, and they had a little motor about this big, and I could be pulling about five cassette tape sets behind me. And there'd be somebody who wouldn't like that. I'm not really interested in what you think about my airplane. God gave me that airplane, and if you want to know the truth, I'm believing for a jet.
Come on.
I'll have a Citation jet in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You're going to get rid of the one you have? No, I'm going to keep it because I want to keep two.
Yeah. Amen. Go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm going to have a jet too.
Yes. Amen. Everybody say, see it.
See it.
So you got to see. What you see is very important. That's why I told Joshua, meditate. Meditate. Number three, third step. Speak in line with your true identity and position. You got to guard your mouth. You're going to speak in line with your true identity and position. If God's Word says you're above, then say you're above. If God's Word says you're blessed, say you're blessed.
That's right.
Again, there'll be a death to your flesh.
Yes.
Every one of us in this room, there will be times your mouth is going to say something, and as soon as you say it, it'll grieve your spirit because your spirit knows that's not you.
Uh-huh.
Well, what do? Well, you could get under condemnation and crawl on hot asphalt and broken glass. That might make you feel better. I don't know. But I can tell you this, it won't approve you in the sight of God any better. Well, what do? Well, you repent. Ask God to forgive you and get your tongue yielded back to the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Speak in line with your true identity and position. Well, what do I say? I say I'll have a new jet. I'll say I'll be on radio stations from coast to coast with the most. I say it. I see it. I say it. And I do it. See it, say it, do it. See it, say it, do it. Say it. See it, say it, do it. A little more now. See it, say it, do it. I like that. See it, say it, do it. We can get going now. See it, say it. Ooh, hallelujah. We might just get a train going around the room. Yeah, see it, say it, do it. Yeah, right now. See it, say it, do it. Let's go. Everybody turn around. See it, say it, do it. Woo. How is that meaning? Woohoo! See it, do it. Number four. I have to admit I drank before I came in here. Number four, act in line with your true identity and position. You're going to find out. You're going to start seeing it. You're going to start speaking it. And now you're going to act in line with your true identity and position. Act in line. Everybody say act.
Act.
Well, how does somebody who's called to be on radio act? You go out and make programs.
Uh-huh. Amen.
I can tell you when we first got on our first station, which was down here in Jacksonville 5 years ago, I mean, I really didn't have the money. I didn't have the equipment. I borrowed the equipment.
I remember.
But I made the programs, made the intros and outros, and asked Dennis Williams, the guy who lives over here in Brunswick. He kind of does our programming for us. He's on our payroll. He's a part-time employee that builds these programs out of the tape sets that we have. I said, you know, if you'll go ahead and start making them, I just believe God, the money will be there and we'll be able to pay you.
Uh-huh.
Amen. And he was a good man and he went for it. He had faith too. And here we are. We've been in a working relationship for 5 years.
Glory.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Yay.
Well, how does somebody called on radio act? Well, after you get the first station going and there's that wisdom, there's organization. You can't jump on 100 stations or you won't be on the next day.
You're right.
Right.
There's some wisdom involved. See, this is where people get messed up. There's power keys, there's organizational keys, and wisdom. Well, how does somebody who's called to be on, then you look for your second radio, and your third, and your fourth. Are you hearing this?
Yes.
And you move forward. Everybody say, little by little.
Little by little.
Possess the land. Little by little.
Little by little.
And you know what? If you'll do those four things I just gave you, you're going to find yourself walking in God's success nature in your life. And that's the hub of the wheel around which everything's going to revolve.
Wow.
Around which everything's going to revolve. Amen.
Amen.
Well, fold up your Bibles. Let's pray a moment. Worship team, come back. Thank you, Jesus. Sunday. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lift your hands up. Just begin to pray in the Spirit. If you don't pray in the Spirit, just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you, Lord, that your nature dwells and resides in me. I have the nature of God. Let's stand to our feet. Let's do it. Yes. Now listen to me. Listen to me. There's something about worship that seals the work of God. Worship's not just, well, let's just have little preliminaries. Worship, a spiritual work occurs. The seed has gone forth. Everybody say the seed. What am I talking about? I'm talking about my teaching. The seed has gone forth. When we worship, there's going to be some watering and some germination.
Yes.
And some sealing that occurs.
Yes, 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 yes.
Suzanne, lead us. Let's sing and worship. Yes, thank you, Lord. Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
For you, we hunger for your power, and
Thank you, Lord. Listen to me. We're going to break the spirit of intimidation. I want those of you, and this is going to take some, pardon the expression, some guts for you to come forward. If you have had a spirit of intimidation, a sense of unworthiness buffeting you, an oppressive thing basically stalking you, I want you to quickly come up here right now. I'm going to pray for you as a group. Come up here quickly. That sense of unworthiness, you can't make it, you're not good enough, it's not going to happen in your life. Look what you did, look what you are, this type of thing. I want you to quickly come up here. We're going to break the power of intimidation. God has not given us a spirit of fear. God has not given, that's not God, see? God is, that thing will cripple you. You'll not be able to run the race. Picture this while they're coming. Picture this. I mean, here's these people trying to run the race, and they've got a crippling. They've got an ankle that's been twisted or something that's broken. You can't run the Christian race as fast as you could. Yeah, you're in the race, but we want you to be able to run. Amen. Run fast. Praise God. I want pastors... Coleman, I want him to come up with his associate. I saw that he had an associate. I want him to come. Pastor Dan, I want him to come. And I want y'all just to help me. Y'all step back about a foot here, and I want them to get in front and just kind of go up and down the line and lay hands. We're going to pray a prayer of faith. Pastor Dan, is there anyone else that you'd like to come and participate? Pastor Daniel and the other pastoral team, come. And I want you, pastors, I want you to position yourself, and we're not going to spend, 20 minutes over each person. This is a thing of faith. And listen to me, expectancy is the breeding ground of miracles. When we pray, Brother Jason, I didn't feel electricity. I am not praying for you to feel electricity. You might feel something. Thank God if you do. It might just be them rubbing their shoes across the carpet real good. I don't know. But we are doing something deeper than that. We are doing something where we are going to address the spirit of intimidation, the spirit of fear, and command that buffeting devil to take his hands off of your life so that you can be set free to be what God has called you to be. And as I pray, I'm going to pray here in a moment, then they're just going to move up down the lines and they're going to touch you on the forehead. They're going to agree with my prayers. And as they do, I want your expectancy to reach out and get it. Amen? Lift your hands to God all over the auditorium. Lift your hands to God. I want everyone to say this out loud. Heavenly Father, I believe what you say. I don't believe the devil. I don't believe my feelings. I'm not going to receive my past. My future is dictated by God's Word. My future will be determined by God's Spirit. I am recreated in Christ Jesus. I reckon it so. I decree it. I declare it. I believe it. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm a winner. I'm not a loser. The very same life that created this world has shined in my heart through Jesus Christ. I have the success of God. I have the ability of God. I'm a winner. I'm not a loser. I'm going to run the race. And I'm going to win the race. I will fulfill my destiny by the help of God. I yield to the nature of God in me. In Jesus' name. Well, give Him a shout and a praise for it and start praying over it. Hallelujah. Start praying over them. Lift your hands to God. Worship team, continue to sing. And we're going to go up and down the line and touch you with a touch of faith. And I want you to receive it right now. I rebuke every devil that's been buffeting God's people. I take authority over these demons of timidity, these demons of cowardice, these demons that would say we cannot possess the promised land. You can't possess the promised land. I speak the spirit of Joshua and Caleb on them. I speak the spirit of Joshua and Caleb on them right now. That I can, we can mentality in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Put your hands up and receive from God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for deliverance. Thank you for deliverance. We have been delivered from the spirit of darkness, from the kingdom of darkness, and translated into the kingdom of Jesus, the dear Son of God. Hallelujah. We are a delivered people. We will possess our promised land. We will fulfill our mission. We will tear the walls of Jericho down. We will run the race, and we will win the race. In Jesus' name. Woo. Oh, yes, the glory be known. All right, lift your hands to God. Father, right now I thank you for that power, the power of deliverance, the power of deliverance in Jesus' name. Every devil in hell backing up because we lift high the shield of faith. We lift high the shield of faith in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we pronounce deliverance. We pronounce the victory in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, I pronounce you set free. I pronounce you delivered from every buffeting devil. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, just come right on down the line. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Yes, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Yes, thank you, Lord. Yes, thank you, Lord. Oh, let's sing it to Him. Lift your voices. The glory of God has shined. Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Father, we pronounce deliverance in Jesus' name from every buffeting devil, from every devil that would harass and buffet. I command them to be turned loose in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, right now, set free by the power of God, I pronounce that you are delivered. The shield of faith is around you in the mighty name of the Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Set free by the power of God. Set free by the power of God. Everyone, 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 right now, the peace of God that passeth all understanding in Jesus' name. Yes. Woo. Yes. All right, sing it. Lift your voices, sing it to God. Yes, He's redeemed us. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to turn to someone and I want you to say, don't just say it casually. I want you to speak it as a prophetic utterance. I want you to say this: I'm delivered from the power of darkness. Find somebody and say that to them: I'm delivered from the power of darkness. Praise God. Well, you may be seated. I am delivered from the power of darkness. You know, God's doing a deep work.